We're going to land ultimately in Romans chapter 8, and I'd love for you to be there because if the Lord puts it on your heart after you get home, if the Lord puts it on your heart to spend some time where we've been spending some time, I want your eyes to fall on Romans chapter 8. I want your eyes to fall on that place where it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But we're going to start in the life of David. We've been going every word all year, right? But we're reading the Bible every word all year, going from the beginning to the end, all the way through. And we're inviting the Lord to plow our hearts with his word. We're inviting the Lord to break up the hard-packed soil in our lives, to let the seed go deep and be sown well so that the roots can go down, so that the plant can come up, so that it will bear fruit in our lives. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because, see, this is not about checking something off your spiritual to-do list. It's not just, well, I want to read through the Bible. It's not just, I want to make sure that at the end of every day I can say, check, I did that. I spent my time with the Lord. I got my spiritual brownie points. No, no, no. If that's what you're doing, you're no different than a Pharisee. If that's all you're after, what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, in Jesus' name, would you grow me in your word? Would you show me some things about you? Would you show me some things about myself? Would you reveal yourself, Lord, in such a way that I can come clean before you? That I can come and all of the false self, Lord, that I try to hide behind would just fall away. Would just fall away. So I want to invite you into this. David, a man after God's own heart. This is important because I want to be a man after God's own heart. Don't you? Amen. That's the deal. We find this example in David of a man who says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. What more can I want? We find the life in this man, David, who understands what it is to say, Lord, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. We find ourselves in the pages of Scripture. We find ourselves in the life of David. David is one of the most famous characters in all of Scripture. We know more about David. We have more from David's hand than from almost anyone else in all of Scripture. And we know that God says of David, a man after my own heart. And yet I'm with Jason on this one. I don't know if you got a chance to spend some time in that encouragement in the word that Jason shared with you on Monday about, so we know about David's faith, but we also know about his faults. And there's something in us that says, how can you put those two things together? How can both of those things be present in the same deal? So you know, we put a little title on the message after God's own heart. But I got to tell you, the working title for this was, Will the Real David Please Stand Up? Because you got a lot of different Davids in there, true? I mean, if you read it closely, you got a lot of different Davids in there. Will the Real David Please Stand Up? But the reason that title doesn't work, because it's not about David. I mean, if it's really going to be what it's supposed to be, it's going to be like, would the real Larry please stand up? Would the real Doug please stand up? Would the real Gene, would the real Rusty please stand up? Because here's what I know about me, and I think it's true about you. If you're not careful, there can be a lot of yous floating around in there. And depending on who you're in front of at the moment, a different self can come out. A different presentation can make itself there. And so you look at David, you look at the life of David, and you begin to say, okay, Lord, if you could love him like that, if he could love you like that, may I? So here's some questions I want to invite you to wrestle with. Some things I want to invite you to just chew on and come back to. And let Romans 8 speak into it in a little bit. So here you go. Here's a question. Are you aware of your own brokenness? Because a lot of us aren't. In fact, sometimes I am the worst judge of my own condition. Can anybody else go ahead and acknowledge that? I mean, it takes work. It takes work to look into the mirror of your soul and say, what's going on here? If you've ever had a time when you responded out of your brokenness instead of responding out of your redeemed self. You ever had that time? Do you have kids? I'm just saying. I'm just saying those times when the moment comes and it's so sudden. And instead of responding out of this heart that God has redeemed, instead of responding out of what God has done in you, you react. And you realize sometimes, and bless her heart, Stephanie's on the receiving end of this so frequently. When it's not her I'm responding to at all. It's a broken place from years ago when I was a kid. It's a broken place from some wound that was imparted, and I don't even know the name of who slashed my heart, but it never quite got healed. Are you aware of your own brokenness? Are you? Are you? And this one, when you find yourself on the wrong side, when you find yourself on the wrong side of the moment, when you find yourself on the wrong side of the issue, when you find yourself on the wrong side of the reaction, when you find yourself on the wrong side, are you quick to repent? Because that's the real difference maker in David's life. It's not so much how could a guy with that resume be called a man after God's own heart? It's not about his behaviors, it's about what his behavior, how it affected his heart. When David comes before the Lord, 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 against you and you only have I sinned. Lord, Lord, let the bones you've crushed rejoice in you. The David who just pours himself out before the Lord, it's not that he didn't blow it. He blew it spectacularly. But the thing about David is he keeps coming back. He keeps coming back to the Lord. So here's one more question. We'll get to this in a little bit. Do you live like every good thing in your life has come from God? Or do you live as if when a good thing comes into your life, you're finally getting the recognition you deserve? Can I tell you something? In the Christian life, this is a piece of discipleship that you need to lay hold of. The last thing you want to get is what you deserve. Can I get an amen? The last thing you want to get is what you earned. What you want to get, what I want to get, what I'm longing for, what I die without, is that, you remember that line, your mercies are new every morning, and I need those mercies every morning. In fact, before the morning is up, I need those mornings to be layered back onto my life again and again and again and again. So how about it? Are you aware of the brokenness? Do you repent when you find yourself on the wrong side? Do you live like every good thing in your life has come, not because you earned it, but because of the great mercy of God? So here's the thing. When David was nothing, he was doing pretty okay. When David knew that he was nothing, he was pretty good. There's this line, it comes in 2 Samuel chapter 7. David prays before the Lord. He's just gotten the news. God has sort of crossed over a barrier with David that says, you know what, here's the deal. No going back on this. You are sealed. And my plan for you will not be thwarted. I'm going to establish your family. I'm going to establish your throne from now on. And what he's really talking about is Jesus, right? And let's not read back into it. I'm sure David did not understand all of the long-term significance of what was said, but David did know. David did know that what he was hearing from God was such great good news that it was going to change everything. And here's what David said. He said, who am I, sovereign Lord? Who am I? And what is my family that you've brought me this far? When you were reading through the life of David, you saw several places where David said things like that. Who am I? And what is my family? Who am I? And what is my people? Who am I? Who am I that you should take note of me? Who am I that you should speak to me this way? Who am I and what is my family that you've brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Can I tell you something? God has plans for your life. You may have a hard time hearing that. You may have a hard time understanding that. But let me pray this over you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that we would trust you for our future. In Jesus' name, that we would trust you for the future of the people that we love, Lord, the people that you've placed in our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name, that we could trust you and that you have plans. Amen? Amen. See, that's what God is up to. That's what God is up to in our lives. And yet, when David thought he was nothing, he was doing okay. When David started thinking he was something, that's when trouble came. I'll give you an example. Once David was established in his kingdom, once he was enthroned and in Jerusalem, there's this line that says, and this troubles my heart. There's this line that says, in the spring of the year, when kings go forth to war, David sent Joab. In the spring of the year, when kings go forth to war, David was in Jerusalem. In the spring of the year, when kings go forth to war, David was not where he belonged. And he wound up seeing things he had no business seeing and being enticed by things he had no business being enticed by. And it's just like John said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, and the man after God's own heart crawled up onto his own throne and said, no, I deserve this. I've had enough of sleeping outside. I'm the king now. I've had enough of campfires and swords and shields. I'm the king now. I've had enough of sleeping on a cold ground. I'm the king now. And in the spring of the year, when kings go forth to war, David was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and he fell. And when he fell hard. And he took other people down with him. And you remember how the story goes. There is murder. There is adultery. And how can you say he's a man after God's own heart? There's that line. Do you remember the line from Paul in Romans chapter 7 where he says, I don't know. I don't get what's going on in me. I don't know why I did what I did. I don't know why I said what I said. I don't know why I went where I went. I don't know. I don't know what's up with me. Paul, you know, the Apostle Paul, for crying out loud, the Apostle Paul, and he says it, I've got it marked here in my Bible in Romans chapter 7. I don't understand what I do, for what I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good. It's no longer I myself who do it, but sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is in my sinful nature. I've got this underlined. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. I don't do the good I want to do, but the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. And Paul finishes that line by saying, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Will the real Paul please stand up? Will the real David please stand up? Will the real Rusty please stand up? Are you in touch with your own brokenness? Have you figured out who you are? And because here's what I think. When we have those moments like we had just a little bit ago, you know, and you come boldly before the throne of grace, heart sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, and you come boldly before the throne of grace, I think part of that taste and see prayer, taste and see that the Lord is good. I think part of that is to say, Lord, in Jesus' name, would you let all the false self in my, would you let it fall away like dried up husks? Lord, may I stand before you and simply be the man you've created me to be. Amen. Isn't that your heart? Isn't that who you want to be? You know, that idea that, Lord, even just for this moment, even just for this sacred hour, bracket it out, Lord. May I come and stand before you. May I come and would you strip away all that I have taken and found comfort in, Lord, in Jesus' name, right? Here's the assurance. Man looks on the outward appearance, yeah? But God looks at the heart. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Because we all put on our Sunday best to come out here. We all know the uniform of this family of faith, you know. You don't want to dress up too much. You don't want to dress down too much. We all know the uniform of this family of faith. We all know the language of this family of faith. We know what to carry and how to carry ourselves. We put on our Sunday best when we come to church. And yet, God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Here's what I know. Here's what I know. If we got too close to one another, you might see some things about me that make you not really want to listen to what I have to say. If I got too close to you, there may be things, there may be reason I would really not want you around my grandkids. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. And maybe you come to a place where you say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I just want to be the same man when I'm sprinkled with the blood of Jesus in your throne room as what I am on a Monday. I want to be the same guy. I want to be the same guy. Whether I'm in a worship service, whether I'm waiting in line at the gas station, Lord, I want to be the same person that you've called and created me to be. Are you aware of your brokenness? And when you find yourself on the wrong side, are you quick to repent? The Lord, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, searching for those whose hearts are truly his. And I just want to wave my arms and say, Lord, in Jesus' name, can I be that guy? Amen. Can I be that guy? You know, and the Lord, he seeks you. You know, the Lord seeks those who will worship him in spirit and truth. The Lord is seeking those who will worship him with all their heart. Let me just give you this one. A few years ago, actually, it's probably a lot of years ago now. Many of you will remember this. We did that study, and they had these pictures. These pictures that kind of you could hang in the gallery of your heart just to remind you what discipleship looks like. And one of those pictures was God on the throne. God on the throne, a picture of holiness. You know, just Lord, in Jesus' name, would you give me eyes to see? Would you give me a heart to hold on to this vision of you? God on the throne, a picture of holiness in your beauty, in your majesty. Lord, in your holiness and in your mercy, Lord, eyes to see, God on the throne, God on the throne. And then another picture was self in the mirror. And it went on to say a picture of brokenness. But you never want to get those the other way around. You never want to find yourself at that moment when you say, you know what? I'm going to crawl up on that throne. I'm going to get on that throne. And when I look in the mirror, I'm going to tell myself I'm doing just fine. God on the throne, self in the mirror, that's fine. You never want to get them reversed. And here's the deal. When Paul comes down to that moment and he says, I just don't get me. I know how I want to live. I know what I want to do. I know the kind of person I want to be. Why is it not working? Why is it not working? And you get to the place where you say, who can deliver me from the body of this death? I mean, what I want to do, who I want to be, I want to be humble and worshipful and quiet before God. That's David, right? I want to be grateful and faithful and kind. That's David, right? I mean, David, out in the pastures with the sheep, with that time before the Lord, and David singing to the Lord and allowing the Lord to sing back to him. That's, you know. And while I was there, I had to fight a lion and a bear. And if I could fight them, I could fight this giant. And that's the real David, right? Or maybe David and Jonathan, you know, when there's the picture of loyalty and faithfulness, the kind of friend you need to have, the kind of friend you long to be. And when he says, is there anyone left of the house of Jonathan to whom I can show the favor of God for Jonathan's sake? And he finds Mephibosheth. You remember reading that? Did you pronounce his name right, Mephibosheth? And is there anyone left of the house of Jonathan whom I can... And you say, okay, so maybe that's the real David, the faithful friend, the loyal friend. Praise God for that. Or is the real David, and this is my fear, is the real Rusty, the one that winds up in the wrong place at the wrong time with his eyes falling on the wrong things and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life? When you find yourself on the wrong side, are you quick to repent? Are you quick to turn back to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to be self-serving. I don't want to live entitled. I don't want to be reactionary. I don't want to play favorites. I don't want to be vindictive, Lord. I want to go freely and fully, hard after the heart of God. There's a word that says David became more and more powerful, but not because of who David was. David became more and more powerful because of who the Lord is. David became more and more powerful because the God of heaven's armies was with him. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Lord, in Jesus' name, I need the God of heaven's armies to be with me. Father, my brothers and my sisters in this room right now, Lord, we long to know that we are walking with you, walking in you, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you would give us the gift of seeing ourselves for who we are. The broken places, Lord. The wounded places. The sinful places, Lord. And I believe that the first and greatest gift of the Holy Spirit is the conviction of sin that will lead to repentance. And Father, in Jesus' name, I repent for all the ways that I failed to be the man you've called me to be. Is that your heart? Is that your heart? Lord, in Jesus' name, you who have given us a glimpse, a taste, a flavor, an aroma of your presence, Lord, would you whet our appetites for your presence, more real than our hurts? And Father, you who have placed this hunger in us, Lord, would you fill it?